All right, church family, you may be seated. At this time, kids are going to be dismissed, so kids can head out. You know, last Sunday, we had this opportunity to hear from several of our partners that we have around Toledo. We got to hear from Bella Vita and Savannah Martin in her ministry, and you saw a video from Toledo Christian and FCA and the After School Club, Toledo Urban Impact, and all these amazing partnerships that we have around the city. And I'm so excited that Lead's here today, because this is just another opportunity here that we have to partner with people for God's kingdom to grow and to expand. I'm excited to hear what you guys will. Why don't you come on up, man? I know you got the team is here, and they're all going to be sharing and stuff. And I'm just so excited, church family, for you to hear what's been going on and what God's been doing, man. I'm pumped, man.
Give God praise. Well, it's been a while. I'm so excited. I'm not alone today. Amen. So I have our team. I call them the dynamic trio, duo, quadruple, whatever you want to call it. If you could stand, Pastor Markel, Pastor Kendra, Janine, Charmaine, Olive, and Sarai. And if there are any folks here from Lead here, I'm not sure, I want to invite you to stand. This is our leadership team, and so I'm so excited you'll be hearing from them today also. And so what I'm going to do is just kind of set us up for the rest of our time together. But first of all, I just want to say thank you, First Alliance Church. Would you give God a round of applause for your faithfulness to partner with so many ministries in the city, which shows that you have a kingdom imagination. A kingdom imagination. And so, again, my name is Will, serve as lead pastor of Lead Community Church, which is a church plant here in Toledo, Ohio, of about 3.5 years. And one of the number one questions I get when people ask me about church planting, especially in Toledo, I'm from Cleveland, don't boo me. They say, really? Do we need another church? This is holy Toledo. We got a church on every corner. Why don't you just come do it with us? Right? I get that all the time, and you can ask any church planter. That is like the number one thing. Like, why in the world would you plant a church? I'll also share two things briefly from my own journey, because at one time I asked the same question. About 15 years ago, at the first church, I had the opportunity of planting. God, this makes no sense. I'm a part of a dynamic ministry in the inner city. I got a great senior pastor. He's phenomenal. And you're asking me to leave? That makes no sense in the world. And what I discovered is that I really had a problem with understanding the missional nature of God. That God himself is a missionary. And oftentimes our ecclesiology, or what we believe about the church, informs our mission, when really it should be the other way around. God is a God on mission. It starts in Genesis 1, in the beginning God. And so since God is a missionary and I'm created in his image, then what should I be? A missionary, partnering with God on his mission to seek and to save the lost. And so when God invited me to be a part of church planting again 3.5 years ago, his invitation to me was never, we'll go to Toledo and plant a church. I was on a fast, and the Holy Spirit said, it's clear as day, I want you to go to Toledo, and I want you to start a disciple-making movement. Period. And on that journey, I met a wonderful name that you all know dearly by the name of Kurt Schneeman. Amen, 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 amen. You say, is this Throwback Sunday? I don't know. And he adopted us, and along with First Alliance Church, adopted us on this journey to make disciples. Hence, the name of this ministry is called Lead Community Church, which stands for Living Every Day as Disciples. And so personally, I want to thank you for partnering with us on this journey with your prayers, your support, and your financial contributions. We have tasted the salt water in our mouth, but thank God for the faithful giving, amen, of First Alliance Church and showing up to our events. And you'll hear more later on ways that you can partner. But with that being said, we have a nice slideshow for you to watch. Afterwards, Pastor Kendra is going to come up and share some God stories, and then I'll come up and share a little bit, and then next we'll be hearing from our brother, Pastor Michael Pollock. Amen? Amen. Enjoy this video.
That gives you just a snapshot of some of the lives being changed by God through Lead Community Church. I'm Kendra Sankovich. I'm the executive pastor at Lead Community Church. And as Pastor Will said, L-E-A-D for LEAD stands for living every day as disciples. And so that is the core of who we are. We ourselves are on a journey of discipleship, growing closer to Jesus. And then we also need to be helping other people encounter Jesus and grow in their faith of Jesus as well. It's all a discipleship journey. So allow me to share with you two examples of how that is happening at Lead Community Church. The first one that I will share with you is a story of someone I'll call L. And most people at Lead Community Church have a deep amount of trauma that they have experienced in their life. You talk to one person and it's like, wow, that's enough trauma for a whole room full of people, but that's what one person has gone through. And this individual is no different. She summarizes her story like this. She says, at the age of 6, I was abandoned by both parents and left with strangers. The strangers raised me up the best as they could, and then I went out on my own at the age of 17. I went from struggling physically, mentally, emotionally, from abusive relationship, one after another, and then I finally ended up getting pregnant. I also practiced the occult, tarot cards, palm reading. I was starting in astrology. I practiced talking to the dead. I also came into agreement with the Antichrist spirit. I did rituals. I had crystals, many kinds. And one day, the Lord came to her and asked her, how would you like to raise your daughter? Would you like to teach her life or death? From that day on, I chose life, and he transformed me. I moved from Mississippi to Toledo. I lived alone for a year, and then I got married to a wonderful husband, and we had our first son together. I'm here, part of Lead Community Church, and so honored and thankful that God chose me for this beautiful life. So out of her journey, she's not keeping that to herself. At Lead Community Church, we encourage everyone, what is God asking you to do to make disciples of other people? And so as she was praying, she felt like God was asking her to start an online prayer call with women to be a safe place for them. It started off with just 3 people, and it multiplied by 6 over the last couple of months. Multiplied by 6. It's a safe environment for women to share, be vulnerable, confess to one another, and pray for one another. And they're on for hours, like all day long. If they're not at work, like in and out when they can, they're on all day long, praying for one another, being vulnerable, sharing, building relationships. Even the people who are local, because there's people from other states that are joining them now too, but the people that were local will even get together. And sometimes they're from different churches and witnessing to each other. And one of the cool things that she mentioned was they did an event where they were worshiping in the middle of Panera Bread, and workers came up to them and asked for prayer and was able to receive prayer and breakthrough in their life. So all that to say that one seed that God plants in someone to start something can be multiplied. Praise God. God cares about healing the individual, bringing them to wholeness. And while they're on that journey as well, bringing others alongside, bringing them to wholeness as well. One more story then. So I'll call her C. She actually was a friend of Elle and came to her wedding here. She was from out of town and said, I like your people. I like your community here. I want to move here. And so she moved from out of state to come here to Toledo to be part of her community. And she is no exception, a large, large amount of trauma in her life. And at the time, she was in an abusive relationship because that was a result of some of the trauma. So she was able to leave that and move to Toledo. And Charmaine has been so good at walking along the path with her every single step of the way, just being there for her and helping her make steps towards wholeness. And as she's receiving this freedom in Christ and the healing, she is so excited. She has the spiritual gift of evangelism, and she keeps inviting her coworkers to come to Lead Community Church. And some weeks, there's 5 of them there. I'm like, how did you hear about Lead? Oh, we work with C. I'm like, wow, yep. They're like, she keeps inviting us, and they come. And so, like, she has the spirit of evangelism, and she prays with people at work. She invites them to church. And so out of her brokenness and now healing, she's inviting others to be healed as well. So I'll invite Pastor Will up to give one more story of lives that are being transformed through Lead Community Church as a result of your partnership.
Awesome. Give God praise. That's incredible. You know, Paul talks about how he bears in his body the marks of the Lord Jesus. And if you've been following the Lord any amount of time, you know that this does not come without a price. Discipleship is spiritual warfare. It is hand-to-hand combat. And so though this is a very incredible work, it is also a very difficult work and heartbreaking work a lot of the time. We just sang about Jesus, the man of sorrows, and it's so good to know that our Savior know what it's like to cry and to weep over people that you love. And so, brief story I like to share. So Lead Community Church is a network of smaller communities called missional churches. pretty much, if you heard of missional communities or something like that, it's really a network of missional churches where every person is a missionary. That is our identity. Pastor Michael may share a little bit about that. But the first missional church that Pastor Michael oversees is called Antioch. Antioch. Antioch is a missionary lab. This is where you come and discover your people and your place. Where has God sent you? We care for one another, we shepherd one another, we pastor one another, we disciple one another, pour into one another. But at the end of the day, we're still missionaries to be sent out on the mission. And so out of that came a missional church we call Turning Point. Turning Point is a recovery center here in Toledo. Some of you know my testimony. I come out of recovery. I'm a recovering alcoholic. Give Jesus praise. Amen. He can set you free. Amen. Praise God. I ain't the only one that got problems. Amen. I knew I was at the right place. Well, Jesus, he says, as the Father sent me, so I sent you. And so as we were sitting here being challenged, like, where's your people? Where's your place, Pastor? Can't be around sheep all the time, Pastor. Matter of fact, when they licensed me in the Alliance, they said the hardest thing for you to do will be to be able to be a disciple. Now that you have the title, you're going to struggle with being a disciple because you're going to be around Christians all the time, right? That's from come from my DS, amen, my old DS in the Central District, who, by the way, lived on mission. Those men played basketball at 4 in the morning to be with lost people because they were going to be in the office from 9 to 5. That's good leadership. So I'm sitting there. I'm like, okay, Lord, where do you want to send me? Turning Point. So I walk in there, and would you believe that the person who runs the place was there and just say, hey, you got a few moments. I'm going to give you opportunity to share. And for the last 2 months, every Monday, I've had an opportunity to teach the Bible and to share the gospel and to talk about recovery things with a group of about 30 people. Every month, an open door for the gospel. And so that's called Turning Point. And out of that will become another small missional church that'll begin to gather on Thursdays for worship, for prayer. And then the goal is to raise them up and to send them back out into their community to continue to take Jesus with them in their circle of influence. But with that, Lead Community Church is in its own Turning Point. As a matter of fact, about two district conferences ago, the Lord spoke to me very clearly and says, Will, I need you to hold Lead Community Church open with your hands. I need you to hold it open, which were words I wasn't trying to hear. I said, this is my baby, Lord. What do you mean, hold it open? All these amazing things I know you're going to do and you've been doing, you're telling me to hold it open? And over the next few months, God began to make it clear that my role was to lay the foundation for what Lead Community Church would be. And about a year and a half ago, a gentleman that you all know, Pastor Michael Pollock, we had coffee and we sat down and we talked. I said, you know what, man, you should come on board with us. He says, you know what, I think I will. And I watched God rebuild a man. Amen. Woo. Listen. I watched God rebuild a marriage. I watched God rebuild a future and a vision and a destiny and a heart of a couple who were devastated. You know, I've been saved long enough to ask this question. I don't care about the glory. Tell me the story. Show me the scars, because I know that didn't come for free. That cost you something. And over the last year and a half, I watched this brother and his wife, the Lord, do amazing things in him. I watched his leadership go to another level. And last March, the Holy Spirit told me as clear as day, he says, I'm asking you to hand Lead Community Church over to Pastor Michael and Janine as the lead couple of that church. Amen. You can give God praise. I said, Lord, are you sure? And so we were at Exponential last March, and I'm in my Airbnb walking the floor by myself with a number of our guys from our church there in their room, and I'm just like, Lord, are you sure? Why? Why do you want me to do this? I said, do something today, Lord, to let me know. I'm like, all right. And we went to go get prayer together, and we sat in a prayer room with four of us, and a prayer man came out, the prayer leader came out, and the Holy Spirit says, remember the prophet Samuel. And I'm like, oh, that's weird. And so he comes, he prays for us, and he takes a special attention to Pastor Michael and begins to minister to Michael. And then he looks at Michael and says, you're supposed to get anointed today. Before I got on the plane, the Lord told me to grab the oil. God's about to do something in your life today. You're supposed to be anointed. And the light bulb went off when Samuel anointed David. And then he goes and gets the oil. And he walks up to me and he hands me the oil to anoint him. I was in March. Amen. Give God praise. Listen, God makes stuff clear. God is not the author of confusion. He makes things crystal clear. And that began since last March, the process and the transition to Michael into the role of lead pastor. And on November 9th, I will have the honor of installing my brother, my prayer partner, and one of my very, 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 very best friends as lead pastor of Lead Community Church, November the 9th. Come on up, brother. Come on up. So I ask you to pray for my wife and I, as God does have some stuff in store for us. So pray for us as he sends us on our next ministry journey in the days, weeks, and months ahead. Pastor Michael, I love you, brother.
Great to be back. This is my home. This is my roots here at First Alliance Church. So I have a little bit of time with you guys today. I am going to talk about the mandate and for church planting in a movement that multiplies. And parents, you guys all know this scenario pretty well. You tell your kid, go clean your room, go take out the trash. And what do they do when you tell them that? They just stand there. You know, sometimes they look at you like they didn't hear what you said. So, again, I have a 2-year-old daughter, and we're getting to the point where we communicate now pretty well. And I would tell her to do something, and she would just a little hesitation and kind of just stand there, like I'm speaking a different language. You know, I know parents, you guys know the scenario all too well. And we see that in the Bible as well, when the disciples, the moment Jesus ascended to heaven, they kept looking up in the distance. They just looked for him, so much so that God to send angels down and say, men of Galilee, why are you standing there staring into heaven? Right? He gave you a mandate, go. And the question I want to talk about today in our short time is, how often do we hear Jesus' command but still stand there still instead of moving on his mission? Right? The truth is that Jesus was not unclear. He gave us a direct mandate for his church. Go and make disciples. Be witnesses to the end of the earth. And this is where church planting comes into play. This is where it means to build God's church. And we don't want to just build institutions and build buildings. We want to build disciples. Because you can have a church without having disciples. But if you build disciples, you will build a church. Let's pray together. Father, we come to you now in the name of Jesus, and I just thank you for the joy of church planting, the joy of partnership, and the joy of communities that support one another. Father, as we talk about the mandate of church planting, I pray for soft hearts, I pray for vision, and I pray for your spirit, just like you did in me. I pray that you now do in others to help them see what you have called them to do for a short time here on earth. We pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So the first thing we're going to talk about is, what is the mandate? The mandate of church planting. And when we see this, we see the church in Antioch. Now, this first started in Jerusalem. So when the church was birthed, we call it Acts 2, Pentecost. And we see the church was growing in stature, but then something happened to the church. In Acts chapter 7, a man named Stephen was martyred. He was killed for his faith. And when that happened, it sparked persecution of the church. So much so, they scattered throughout the known world. And there was a few disciples, and they settled in a town called Antioch. Now, Antioch was a particular town. It was a crossroads, and it was where a lot of people intersected. So it was a lot of foot traffic in Antioch, and it was Jews and Greeks and Gentiles as well. And we see the Christians, when they got there, out of a persecution, and they started to preach the gospel, and they started to make disciples. Right, we see this in Acts chapter 11, when they scatter, and we see this. Acts chapter 11, verse 21 says this to the Christians. They were first called Christians in Antioch. And we see this happen. Acts chapter 11, verse 21. The hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Right, this was radical. And we see Antioch as the first multicultural, multi-ethnic church in the known world. This is a true picture of the kingdom of God. And so much so, they made so much noise that the mother church in Jerusalem, they started to hear about what was happening in Antioch. So they sent down Barnabas, one of their pillars in the church, to see what was going on there. And he was greatly encouraged. So much so that he said, I'm not going to leave this place. I'm going to go, I'm going to disciple, and I'm going to train them up. And then God sent Saul, Paul of Tarsus as well, and they started to disciple these young Christians to share and be Christians in the gospel. And then something miraculous happens in Acts chapter 13. It doesn't just stop there. We see this in Acts chapter 13. When they were worshiping the Lord, and it says this in Acts chapter 13, verse 2. While they were worshiping and fasting, the Holy Spirit said this: "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them to." And the church laid hands on them, and they sent them out to their first missionary journey to plant churches. And again, when I say churches, I'm not talking about buildings. They went to go plant disciples. They went to go tell people about who the Lord Jesus Christ was. So we see in Antioch, we see there's some new faces and believers, right? There's no longer just the disciples, the pillars, we call them, Peter, James, John, the guys, the 12. There were some new faces of Christians as well. There's some new faces of church planting. We also see it was a church of discipleship. When Barnabas got there, one of the pillars who walked with Jesus, he said, hey, we need to pour into this next generation. And we'll talk about why that's important, to pour into the next generation. And it was a church of sending and leaning on the Holy Spirit. They said, we are going to, whatever the Holy Spirit says, we're going to do, come what may. Not our own agenda, not our church budgets, right? Not worrying about what's going to happen to us. We're going to do what the Spirit calls us to do, come what may. And Antioch, which was a daughter church of the church in Jerusalem, quickly became a sending church, right? Sending missionaries, planting new congregations, and multiplying the kingdom of God. Most of the churches can point their origins back to this church in Antioch. And then when Paul and Barnabas went out in Acts chapter 14, we see they didn't just preach, right? They did the same thing they did in Antioch. They raised up elders, they raised up leaders, and they planted churches so they can sit on their own. So when we talk about church planting, it's not a program. And sometimes it can get wrapped up as a program or just a cycle, right? It's not a trend. It is a biblical pattern for reaching a lost and multiplying others. We see this as the heartbeat of the New Testament. And then when we see the book of Acts, right? It's called the Acts of the Apostles, right? But it's really the act of the Holy Spirit impacted by the gospel. That's what the book of Acts is, and I'm excited you guys are going on that journey next week, the book of Acts, to really see the heartbeat of God there. Think about an apple, and we got a picture here on the screen. Think about an apple, and when you cut open an apple, you can count the seeds inside, right? There's only a few of the seeds inside. But what you can't count is that the apples that are going to come from that one seed. Right? That's the way the gods work. You plant those three seeds. How many apples are going to come from those three seeds? One church is planted, and 10 more can be planted out that same church. And then those 10 can plant 10 more churches out of that same church. Right? Jerusalem could have stayed and been this strong tree, this pillar of the gospel, but they allowed their seeds to spread. Church planting is not about adding one more building to the corner. It's not about church expansion of a campus. It's about the expansion of the kingdom of God on the world. And as we have seen in the news cycle, we have a lost and broken world. And it seems to get worse. It's seemingly worse day by day. So next point I want to talk about is, what is the purpose behind planting and multiplication? Why does God do it this way? Has anyone else ever questioned God before? It's okay to admit it, right? Why are you doing it this way? You could have just did it a different way. Why does God desire to do it this way? Right, because we see Acts chapter 2, we see what happens. They met in homes, broke bread, prayed together. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 47 says this. It says, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who are being saved. And what we see is that every new community created a space for new disciples. There's a way of parenting and sending out we see in the church. And then that kept building as well. Acts chapter 6, it says this, the Lord of God continued to increase and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. Right? We see as they were faithful to the tenants, the church multiplied, and it was seemingly through relationships as well. And think about when Paul wrote a letter to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, it says, don't let them despise you because you are young. We see this. We see new faces, young faces, new leaders, fresh voices. This is how the gospel keeps advancing. The why is simple. And we see this with church planting. Like Pastor Will said, why do we need another church? Why is this the mandate of how God wants to spread the gospel? It seems as though that every generation, every neighborhood, every culture, it needs its own witness. It needs its own people from that community to then go out and spread the gospel. These are new faces, but they're carrying the same old gospel message, right? The gospel doesn't change, but the messages do. And this is the heart of church planting. The gospel is not meant to stay contained, right? Every generation needs a fresh voice, needs a fresh face. And we see that, and that's why Leeds exists. We exist to, is that fresh face. It's not to make much of ourselves. And again, I don't want you guys to hear like, oh, Leeds, this great thing, and we're doing it. We can say from prayer and being broken, this is the Lord's work. And we see he does something unique with a church plant. He gathers fresh people to them. For whatever reason, he will gather them to them. Our community's goal is to point to Jesus. And we already know Jesus is in the life. He's already working through people. So it's not like, hey, let's start this new church so we can bring God here. No, God is already at work. He is already working in the hearts of unbelievers. He is already working in our city. And now our job is to say, Lord, how can we partner with you? How can we partner with you in this particular neighborhood, in this particular community? How are you calling us to partner with you? And an illustration I love here is, think of a candle shop. And as the owner, as he lights one light, he uses sometimes that candle to light another candle. But the original candle light doesn't go out. And then that candle lights another candle. And what happens is that the room grows brighter. Right? That started with one, now is a room full of candles. And what I would say is that First Alliance, your candle is still lit. Just because, again, you guys supported me, you guys supported Pastor Will, doesn't mean that the candle is not lighting. Because as I look in this room, there are some young faces in here. There are some hearts that are ready for church planting. And the thing about God is, he doesn't care about age. He doesn't care about what you've been through in life. He will call you at 65. He called one lady to have a baby at 90, right? It doesn't matter the age. And sometimes it takes, we're in the way of God and we're blocking the blessing. We're blocking what he's calling us to do. So don't say, oh, this has passed me over. Because the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit is at work, he is at work. And he is calling all his people to go and do what God's called them to do. And the last point I'll say here is that our role together. What does our role look like together? The story is not finished. This is the unfinished story, a multiplying movement. Lead Community Church didn't just appear out of nowhere. We're here because this church believes in sending, supporting, and praying. For again, for those who don't know, I was a church planting resident here for 2 years, being built up, being tested, being discipled for 2 years. You guys have invested into me. When Lead Community Church didn't have a ton of support, right? Looking for support, First Alliance stepped up and not only supported my church plant, Visible Church, but also Lead Community Church as well. You sacrifice so we can go. And we thank you for that. And the last time I was here, I informed you all that Visible Church was closing its doors. But I also said in that same message, and I still believe this today, is that God redirects and maneuvers his people when he has them on a mission. That's what God does. So what seemed as though it was the end of one story was actually just the beginning of another one. That's how God works. And Lead Community Church is the proof of that. Over these last 2 years, God has faithfully led my family to Lead Community Church and to serve as their associate pastor. He has opened doors, provided relationships, and stirred vision in a way that we could have never created on our own. This is why at Lead, we cannot boast about anything. We only boast in Christ. Amen. We can't boast about anything. He's done things, too many testimonies. Only a short amount of stories you guys heard about the miraculous in the miraculous things that God is doing at Lead. And again, it's through him, not us. We're not here in our own strength. We're here because God's mission cannot be stopped. He used your prayers, your support, your sacrifice, and planted new seeds in the gospel. And as I was reflecting over this message, what came to mind was John 15, verse 8. And it says this: "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove you are my disciples." Right? There is an aspect of bearing fruit that proves that we are connected to the vine. And because it says without being connected to the vine, we cannot do anything. But when you are connected, you will bear much fruit and prove you're my disciples. So when you guys look at Lead, I don't want you to think about a program or just another church building. I want you to see it as the fruit of faithfulness. Just like Antioch became a sending church because Jerusalem believed in multiplication, Lead exists today because First Alliance believed in multiplication. And the story isn't finished. Just as you have invested into us and sent us out, Lead one day will send out others. That is what it means to multiply. And we're coming up on our 3-year anniversary, and we too now have a church planting resident, someone who has felt the call of God in their life and is asking the question, Lord, how do you want me to serve you? A new face to a new generation carrying out the same old gospel. The message doesn't change, but we see that the Lord raises up new messengers for every generation. That's what a multiplying movement of Jesus is. Disciples making disciples, church planting churches until every corner in our city and every nation hears and has an opportunity to be impacted by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful cycle of God's mission for his church. And we see this in the New Testament as well. Timothy, right, 1 and 2 Timothy, he was young, say right around 25, 30 when Paul called him. Titus was unexperienced. Priscilla and Aquila, they were tent makers, they were entrepreneurs, but God called them and used them mightily. Same is true today. the next missionary, the next church planter, the next pastor, the next elder, right? The next person who's going to take the gospel into their marketplace. Say, you know, I may not have an official ministry, but I'm going to be a disciple who carries God with me all day, is sitting right next to you in the pews. They may feel too young, too ordinary, or unprepared. But as we see in the scriptures, read the Bible. Everyone in the Bible felt like, I'm not ready yet, Lord. But yet the Lord still called them. And we see that God does not call the qualified, but he qualifies the call. Right? He doesn't say, oh, you're ready? You did all the schooling? I'm going to call you now. No, he causes those who feel unprepared. Think of Gideon hiding in the wine press. He calls those who's hiding in the wine press and said, you're a mighty man of God. I'm going to call you. God does that over and over and over again. And my message is that your story's not done yet, First Alliance. There is more Michaels here. There is more people who may feel unqualified, but yet they are called, because that's who God loves to use. Think of this church as a mighty fruit tree. It's like we talked about with the apple. Years ago, you guys planted a seed of faith, right? Visible church, building to me, lead community church. And now we're growing, maturing, and bearing fruit of our own. But remember, the mighty tree does not stop bearing seeds. It does not stop bearing fruit. It keeps producing, and they will go other places. In fact, a healthy tree will continue to bear fruit over and over again, and the mission will continue to multiply over and over again. And at the end of that, a forest is planted. Thousands of trees, thousands of churches, thousands of disciples who are making Jesus known in the community God's calling them to. New faces planning and preaching the same old gospel message. I'm going to end with this. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 28, go and make disciples to all nations. That was his mandate. Go. That was the command, right? That was his command, go to all nations. But he also gives a promise. And he says this, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. That's his promise. And here's the encouragement. You're already a part of the story, right? Leeds Community Church is the fruit from your faithfulness. Every baptism, every disciple we raise up, you guys are a part of it. So be encouraged. The story of multiplication continues. New faces are arising. The kingdom is advancing. And the spirit that sent Paul and Barnabas out, that led them to go say, hey, we cannot keep this gospel contained. The spirit that sent them out is the same spirit flowing in our church today. Flowing in this church today. Keeps us moving. And I'll end with this, our mission, what God's called us to do, the urban context, does require some practical support. And I didn't want to leave here without giving you guys opportunities to partner with us. So over at the welcome table, you see this as a flyer. There are a few flyers if you guys want to hand out. But I just want to note a couple of things you guys can help us do. Pray with purpose, right? Pray with purpose. There's a couple of things as Lead Community Church that we are still asking God for, and as our mother church, we need your prayers once again. So a few things. One, raise up a gifted worship leader for our community. Worship is the foundation of discipleship, and this dedicated leader in that development will help us go to where God is calling us to. And also, as Pastor Will talked about, turning point. We have had more people wanting to experience God on Sundays with his people, but now transportation is becoming an issue. So we're praying for a bus or a van or volunteer, someone who can help us transport these folks They do have a time limit in some sorts. They can't just go in the morning. I believe 12 o'clock on Sundays is their cutoff. They have to be there before 12. But we're praying for a van driver or a van or some way to get these folks to worship with us on Sundays. The next one is volunteer. We are still church plant, and we are still in need of volunteers, people who have, and I've noticed this with Pastor Will, the upbringing of Christianity and the lifestyle and the rhythms of Christianity we need modeled in our community, because we are reaching people who this is foreign to. So again, hey, I have one Sunday a month I can come and run sound. Right? I have one Sunday a month I can greet. Right? I have one Sunday a month where I can help out with the kids. Please talk to me, Pastor Kendra, Pastor Will, for that. Now, we start at 12:30, so I won't mess up your service here, but those are some of the things you guys can continue to pray for us for as God continues to increase our ministry. And the last one is partnership. The multiplication movement, it continues, but it requires fuel. So we're looking for strategic partners, right? People who are looking to give monthly to the continual work of what God is calling us to do. And now, First Alliance has been generous. You guys have given already, and you guys have been generous to me as well. So we say this with no obligation and no pressure, right? Because God loves a cheerful giver. That's our heart posture. And he will provide. He always has, and he always will.